The Bible says in verse number 14 of 2 Timothy 3, this is also in your bulletin, it says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." I'd like you to read that out loud with me here, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14, and it's our theme verse for the year, but also particularly in January, and we'll try to learn a verse from memory each month on this theme. Let's say it out loud together if you have your Bible open or your bulletin. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Amen. That's 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 14. I want you to notice in that verse you'll see the word continue. The word continue. I have felt impressed that this would be the direction the Lord would have us to take this year as a theme for our church, and that is the word continue. You'll notice that on the plaque behind me. You'll look at that all year long. All year long, I hope that you will hear me say maybe dozens of times, continue, don't quit. Continue, don't quit. I know these can be discouraging times for the believer in Jesus Christ when we look at the social realm we live in or the cultural realm that we are living in, just society in general. And it just seems like things progressively degenerate more and more each year. And quite frankly, it just looks like we're losing. It just looks like the believers in Christ are losing when it comes to this world we live in, society, and so on. And in the light of that, we are told to continue. Keep running your race. If you're the only one running, keep running. I've watched a lot of marathons. I don't know why I'm fascinated by marathons. Most people find them extremely boring. They last over 2 hours and so on. And they put the Olympics on every 4 years, the Summer Olympics, and that's just one event I like to. Do you ever notice how many people start a marathon? You ever notice that? You ever notice the Boston Marathon or something, how many start? Have you ever notice how many finish? There's a little spiritual lesson there. You ever know the guy? You ever notice the guy that does finish and wins it is all alone when he's running. He's just out there all by himself. And it's very rare that you ever have a close finish. The Bible tells us that you and I have a race to run. It is not a sprint. It is a marathon. I've seen some sprinters try to live the Christian life, and boy, they come out of the blocks, they get saved, they're born again, man, they come out flying, and they fizzle out in a hurry. They're a flash in the pan. But if you or I are going to finish the race God has set before us, it says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. It is a marathon. 26 miles, 385 yards, I believe, 365 yards. That's a long race. I've never done it. I've never done half that. I've done about 10 miles once, but that's about it. Oh, man. Marvin's run some marathons in his life, and you can talk to him about it. But usually at the end, you're just by yourself. And probably at the end of your Christian life, you're going to be just by yourself, and you're going to have watched a lot of people fall by the wayside. Church members that you went to church with, church members you served in ministries with, other churches, other preachers maybe, you're just going to see them fall. I don't even claim to be any success because I have no idea how close I am to my finish line. But I want to encourage you this year just to continue. Just to continue. I want you to notice some things in this amazing chapter of prophecy and that lead us up to why Paul told the young man Timothy to continue. Continue, Timothy, he says. And I want you to notice the marks of the latter days here. This is one of the most amazing prophecies in all of the Bible. I'm just fascinated with it constantly as I read it. Because most of your other prophecies talk about events, earthquakes, famines, wars, pestilences, and rumors of wars, all kinds of events. Most other prophecies deal with that. But this one deals with human nature. This one deals with how people are going to be, and what are the marks of the latter times going to be like? What will personalities be like in the last days? We've covered this before, so I want to go through this up to verse 13 very quickly. And I want to give you five marks of the last days, of what the Bible says people are going to be like here, and then come to our theme verse and see why it's in there. And what are the circumstances surrounding Paul's admonition to Timothy to continue, do not quit? Because I hear some discouragement. I hear discouragement in the chapel. I hear discouragement in the church sometimes. Just people just kind of hinting like, what's the sense? What's the sense? And I hope this year we will see a lot of sense in it. A lot of sense in continuing and not quitting. I want you to notice, number one, the degeneration of man. The degeneration of man in verses 1 through 3. It says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Why? For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Self-love always produces peril. Self-love always produces peril. Self-love will imperil your marriage. Amen? Self-love will imperil your family. Self-love will imperil your society. When people are filled with themselves, it always produces perilous times. This word perilous is an interesting word. It's only found, the Greek word is only found one other time in the New Testament. And that's in Matthew chapter number 8 and verse 28. In that chapter, Jesus is on the other side of Jordan, and he's near a place called Gergesa. You can go there. The mountain's still there, and there's caves in the mountain. And as Jesus passed by, the Bible says a demon-possessed man came out of the caves and began to verbally assault the Lord. Began to say, what art thou here for, thou Son of God? Are you here to torment us before the time? And we find in the story that this man was named Legion, because he had been possessed with so many devils. In fact, when Jesus cast the devils out of him, they went into a herd of pigs who ran violently down the hill, and you can go there in the hills there today, and they fell off into the steep water and they drowned themselves. That's how demon-possessed this man was. You know, but when the Lord is allowed to work on somebody, he does a pretty good job. Because when the Lord cast the devils out of this man, it says he was found sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And he became an evangelist to Decapolis, the 10 cities of his region. He wanted to follow the Lord, but the Lord said, no, go home and show thy friends and your family what great things the Lord hath done for thee. But before his deliverance and before his conversion, he was described in Matthew 8:28 as being exceeding fierce. Exceeding fierce. And that phrase is the same Greek word that's translated perilous right here in verse number 1. This know also that in the last days, perilous times, fierce times are coming. If you think it's bad now, wait 5 years from now. If you think it's bad now, wait 10 years from now. Perilous times. People are going to be fierce. There's almost 60 countries now in this world that you cannot have a Christian church service in them. You cannot have a Bible. You cannot witness on threat of imprisonment, punishment, on threat of death. 60 countries in this world are fierce towards Christianity. And others are developing an antichrist spirit, as we see, for instance, in America. Where America once was Christian, then it became unchristian, now it's becoming anti-Christian. And we are going to see, I think, more and more persecution in America because of the influx of humanism. That's what verse 2 is. For men shall be lovers of their own self. Notice their degeneration, covetous. They just love the world. They love money. They love the things of this world. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Without natural affection. Just the lack of natural affection towards mates, towards children, towards the opposite sex. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, that means incapable of controlling themselves. Fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded. Notice this, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's the degeneration of man. Then I want you to notice number 2 in verse 5, the denial of religion. Religion's going to get real ugly in the last days. Why? Verse 5 says this, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. There's going to be a lot of forms of godliness. A lot of people are going to go to church, and they're going to put on a front that they're religious, but they're going to deny the power thereof. That means they're going to deny God to have his rightful way in their hearts and their lives. They'll put on the front, and there'll be a lot of church and a lot of synagogues and a lot of mosques in the last days, but they'll deny the power of God in their religion. They'll not allow God to really work on them in their hearts. Then I want you to notice number 3, the degradation of women. The degradation of women. For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. The degradation of women will continue into the last days. Have you ever seen women so degraded as they are today in movies, television shows, by a lot of the popular music, by pornography everywhere? The degradation of women. Women led away by lusts. They're called silly women. They're taken captive. They're laden with sins. A couple of us know a young lady who recently committed suicide. And what led up to it was the way the men had treated her for most of her life. Ladies, the Bible says that the older women should teach the younger women to be sober, not sensuous. Be spiritual, not sensuous. If you will be a spiritual young lady, then you will not be degraded. And boy, if there was ever a time, I don't know if there's ever a time when the fashions and the clothes that girls wear degrades them. Just degrades them as they walk down the sidewalks or into the schools or into the stores or something. And modest dress will restore respect to young ladies and old ladies alike. Men respect modesty and have a disrespect for immodesty. And Hollywood and the music and the dancing shows are trying to teach you young girls, and the cheerleading, it's not even cheerleading anymore, it's exotic dancing. And it's trying to teach you to be immodest. But the Bible says that women ought to adorn themselves in modest apparel. Why? Because men will respect you. But oh my, we see the degradation of women. And then number 4, we see the delusion of education. The delusion of education, verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And then when they are presented with the truth, verse 8 says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Now, I need to give an explanation here. You always got to explain, preaching is never complete. But we're not against education. All right, we believe in education. And I thank God for good school teachers and principals and who are trying their hardest. But 50 years ago this year, our country said, God, take your Bible and take your prayers and get out of our schools. And we are the worse for it. That has not helped our nation. We, as a Bible-believing people, believe in education, but we know this. The Bible teaches the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But fools despise knowledge and instruction. And brethren, you cannot offend God. God's word is holy. God is not mocked. And whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And our country is reaping. But you know, I'm not so much concerned about the fact that our schools and our universities and our colleges, that is our secular ones, don't have the Bible and prayer in them. I'm concerned about the fact that our homes don't have the Bible and prayer in them. We're not reading the Bible to our kids in our own homes. And I hate to say this, but there's a whole lot of churches that don't have the Bible and prayer in them. You ought to see our prayer meetings. They're about this big. About that big. The Bible says the only way we're going to have revival is to pray, humble ourselves, seek God's face, and turn from our wicked ways. We've got to get back to prayer. But you notice here the delusion of education, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. This thought about ever learning just fascinates me how it's in this prophecy here, but also in the book of Daniel. Over 500 years before Christ, in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4, the last prophecy God ever gave Daniel by the angel was this. And let me read it. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. The last thing God ever said to Daniel in his prophecy about the last days, knowledge shall be increased. Have you ever seen how much knowledge has increased lately? This is a sign that our Lord is coming. We need to get ready to meet the Lord. You know, you can look up almost anything you want on the internet and find a pretty good answer about it. Knowledge is being increased. Why? God said so. Not because man's getting smarter, but because God said so. And when God says something's going to happen, it's going to happen. But sadly, in this knowledge, we see here in verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And then when they're presented with the truth, like Moses presented it to Jannes and Jambres, they resist the truth. The delusion of education. I've heard that all my life. Education is the answer. Education is the answer. Education is the answer. Education is the answer. So now in New York State, we're spending $17,000 per student per year. Giving them free rides to school on big yellow buses, Olympic-sized swimming pools, gymnasiums, you know, workout equipment, and PCs, and everything else. It's the answer. And where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. The heart of America is in education. It has become the golden calf of our country that we kneel down and worship at. But it's not bringing people to the truth. Every one of those boys and girls in those schools needs to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, or they're heading on a path to damnation, forever separated from God. The delusion of education. Thank God for the good thing that it helps them, maybe makes their life a little bit more quality. The deterioration of deceivers. Look at verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Don't believe everything you hear out there, folks. Don't believe everything you read in the newspapers. Don't believe everything you see on the television. The Bible says deceivers shall wax worse and worse. Evil men, seducers, deceiving and being deceived. Don't believe everything. To the law and to the testimony. Amen. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no truth in them. No light in them. I want to encourage you to watch out for these signs. The degeneration of man, the denial of religion, the degrading of women, the delusion of education, and the determination, or rather the deterioration of deceivers. I'm just fascinated by the Bible. How did some guy 1,900 years ago know that it would be like this in the latter time? But just the Bible just fascinates me. Well, he didn't. The Bible is God's word. Now, that doesn't mean God ordained these things. That means that God is just so smart, if I can use that without being sacrilegious. God is just so smart, he knows what man is going to do. It's called foreknowledge. And he writes it down, and he says, look, when your society becomes like this, get ready, because the Lord's coming. But when we see society like this, we tend to humanly get discouraged. We tend to humanly say, what is the sense? If it's going to be like that, if it's determined by the foreknowledge of God that it's going to be like, what is the sense? But that's not what God said. So he says to Timothy, right after he talks about this in verse 13, I didn't bring this verse up, it says, but evil seducers, yes I did, shall wax worse, deceiving. And right after that he says, now Timothy, there's nothing you can do about it, so just quit, hold tight, just rest, the Lord's coming, just you're not going to change. No, he didn't say that. He said, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now we'll look at this verse a lot more as the year goes on. And from time to time I'll bring messages on this subject. Paul says to Timothy, continue. No matter how bad the men get, no matter how bad they treat women, you just continue. Continue. I'll define the word continue. Don't quit. But I want you to notice something in closing here. He says this, continue thou in the things which thou hast what? Learned. We believe in education. And hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. I want you to notice three sources of knowledge that affected Timothy. And Paul said to him, what you've learned from these three sources, continue. Do not quit, no matter how bad the world gets. You continue. Number one, his mother and grandmother. Look back at chapter 1 and verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Back to our text, in verse 15 it says this, and that from a child, chapter 3, verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Well, how did Timothy know the Scriptures from a child? His mom taught him and his grandma taught him. Continue in the things that your parents taught you. That is, if you had good Bible-believing parents who knew the Lord, who loved the Lord, who taught you the truth of the Bible, continue in what your parents taught you. Maybe you had some godly grandma, godly grandpa. Maybe your father or mother was godly. They taught you a lot of things. Continue thou in the things thou hast learned. Remember where you learned them from. If you had good parents. If you didn't, well, let's go on to number two. Notice, if you will, in verse 10, a second source of knowledge that Paul admonished Timothy to continue it. Verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Iconium, at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Remember what you've learned from your pastors, your elders, ministers, missionaries, evangelists. God has given us leaders in the church. Remember what you learned from Paul. You know, the Bible says that the Lord saved Paul for a unique purpose, that he could be a pattern for us to that would believe after him. We have Jesus Christ as our main pattern. We also have the Apostle Paul. And a lot of the New Testament is the history of his life so that we can look to him just as maybe somebody in the Old Testament would look and glean from the history of David. Those of us that live in this New Testament times can look and glean from the Apostle Paul. And we need to be in church. We need to be under the sound of the word. We need to be under the sound of the teaching and preaching of elders and pastors and missionaries and evangelists and apostles, if you want to call them that with a small a, and so on and so forth. And we need to continue in what they're teaching us. Whoa. Baptizing here. We need to continue from his family, from ministers, and then last of all, from the Word of God. Look at verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. In our text, our memory verse, the Lord said this, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. The things your grandma, Lois, and your mother Eunice taught you. The things I taught you, Paul said. And then the things the Word of God taught you. The Scriptures that made you wise unto salvation in verse 15. And that can make you perfect and furnished unto every good work in verse number 17. Continue in those things that you've learned. Do not quit, no matter how bad the world gets. I'd like us to look for our blue song books now. Piano players, come. I want to sing a song before we have the Lord's Supper that we're going to sing a lot this year, a lot more than usual, and that's page 279. 279 is going to be our theme song this year. Our theme song this year, Never Give Up. Before we sing this, I want to say if there was ever a lady that should have given up, it was the lady who wrote this song. When she was 6 years old, a doctor put medicine in her eyes that made her go blind, and so immediately she called Celino and Barnes and Paul William Beltz. Now, I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm sure these people are trying to help others. We got a lot of ambulance chasers these days, though, don't we? Do you know, after that doctor put the wrong medicine in her eyes when she was 6 years old, she spent the next 90 years totally blind in darkness. She lived to be 95 years old. Her name was Fanny Crosby. Yet she didn't get bitter. She didn't get angry. She didn't get despondent. She became the greatest poet probably the Christian world has ever known. Over 8,000 poems. And this is one of them. Never give up. Never give up. Imagine that. A lady like that writing a song like this. Continue. Don't quit. Let's stand together and sing Never Give Up. If you want to come and pray, it's the Lord's Supper Day. You got something on your heart you need to pray about or confess, do it now. Get right with God, at least in your heart. Get right with others. Whatever you need to do, if you want to come and be saved, Come to the front, go to the back. Someone will show you how to be saved. But this is going to be our theme song this year. Never give up. 279. Come and pray if you'd like to at this time. Never be sad or desponding if thou hast faith to believe. Ask of thy